from the trip, and it's awesome. Eternal impact and lives and just connections that last forever. Amen? Amen? Who's been on a mission trip before, whether it's been in country or across the seas? Everybody? Yeah. There's nothing like it, is there? There's nothing like it. And you really can't duplicate it either. I think it's one of those things that we sometimes try to, and it's hard. I've actually had some conversation with people who were kind of first time in the mission field, and it's a struggle when you get back. It's a struggle to sort of like reacclimate to quote-unquote real life. And I think we all would love to be 24/7 on a mission field where all we're doing is serving the Lord. And yet, I think as you mature in the things of God, you recognize that that's actually how life is supposed to be anyway. It just looks different, right? The context is appropriated differently, but it's really the same thing. And I so appreciate this church that really values mission, just mission in general. And whether it be, you know, relief trips like that, or whether it's serving, you know, people down the street. So, amen? Well, it's good to be here with you guys. Really excited about sharing the word with you. This is a word that's really been kind of stirring in my heart since the beginning of the year. In fact, I brought my journal with me, which is not normal, because, well, my wife put it this way. Tara said, "It sounds, honey, like you're going to have to choose your own adventure." So if you're a little older, you might remember those books that you would start reading, and then you'd have an option to go one way or the other, and it would completely determine the outcome, which it's kind of how I feel, because like I have threads I want to pull on. I feel like the Lord has put in my heart, but depending on what, you know, other threads I pull will literally depend on where this thing goes. So it's very uncomfortable for me, if you know me, and at the same time, I'm completely at rest with the fact that I believe this is what God wants to do. So I'm gonna read you something that was actually in my journal from, it was in the middle of the fast. It was January 14th, which actually is our pastor's birthday, right? It's the day before my birthday. I was a little offended by the fact that the young adult group only goes to 35. I had a wake-up call. I leaned over to my daughter, which, by the way, check this out. Come on. I mean, we're a family, so you could check this out. Look at this thing right here. Come on. I love being a pa. Love it. Five times over. But yeah, I was like, wow, 35. And I'm going to be 50 soon, so. Yeah, it's true. I know, but still. I used to lead the young adult group, Hope. I think you were in it. I don't know. Somebody was in it. I don't know. But anyway. So January 14th, in my journal, I wrote this. The spirit of breakthrough is imminent. And the Holy Spirit defined breakthrough specifically for me. He defined it as the arrival of the Lord's presence. The spirit of breakthrough is imminent. I wrote down right after that, I am seeking him for the meaning behind all of this. And then the next entry is Isaiah chapter 40, which has become a life verse for me. It was actually the verse that sent us to Florida prophetically. But it talks about the arrival of the Lord's presence in redeeming the exiles. It's also got messianic flavors to it because it's pointing to the coming of Jesus, which would have been about 700 years later. But the language goes like this. It says that every valley will be exalted and every mountain will be leveled. It says the crooked places will be made straight. And all flesh will see the glory of the Lord as he's revealed. Now, this is how I'm understanding what the Lord is doing. So I'm gonna speak, and I really believe the whole message is kind of prophetic. So if you are a prophetic person, I would call your antennas to be up this morning, because I really think this is something that's going to be a seed that is sown, but that even some of you prophetic people are going to be able to kind of glean from it, take it, and then just move in different directions, whether it's, you know, in your own ministry, your own lives, or what God's doing here. But I really believe we're in a now move of God. I do. I believe we are in a now move of God. And I don't want to be selfish, because this isn't just about Rock Solid Church. Everybody I talk to, everybody, every pastor, I was in a conversation with a pastor from Uganda recently, and what's happening in Uganda is nothing less than just pure revival. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of pastors, and they don't even have a Bible. They don't even have a Bible. They're just passing on the messages that have been passed on to them. And people are getting set free. Breakthrough is happening. It's not that it's imminent. It's happening. You know? We just established a new partnership 2 weeks ago with a pastor from Greensboro, North Carolina. I was going to say Charlotte, but it's not Charlotte. It's Greensboro, North Carolina. And this guy, all he's talking about are the things that God is doing there. And it's the same thing he's doing here. It's the same thing he's doing in Uganda. It's the same thing he's doing, you know, in Peru at one of our other satellite campuses. He's just doing it all around the world. It's a now move of God. And, of course, there's certain things that God always does, right? He always does. But I hope you'd agree with me. In Revelation 21 really speaks to this, but that Jesus loves to do new things. Yes. Come on, I need a better amen than that. Yes. There's not a one of you out there. I don't care what's happening in your life right now. There's not anybody out here that doesn't love new things. Right? I mean, we might be, you know, territorial over our old things. But the fact of the matter is there's a lot of them that God wants to rip out of our hands so he can provide for something new. And we're just going to have to get over the fear of, what is my life going to look like without that? And he's like, you have no idea. I'm about to blow your mind when you actually get a hold of this. He's doing a new thing. And it's imminent. How many are actually sitting in a point in your life where you're waiting for breakthrough? You're waiting for breakthrough. You're waiting for something to just break, right? Okay, well, we'll take off from here. I really believe that everything that you need as far as breakthrough happened 2,000 years ago. On the cross of Calvary, when Jesus died your death, when Jesus shed his blood, poured out his love, 3 days later, he rises from the dead, conquering the unconquerable, living out and embodying within himself the reality of, with God, all things are possible. I heard a song the other day that talked about how every prayer that we pray is on an empty grave. Every prayer that we pray is from the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which constantly reminds us, and I want to speak to your breakthrough right now, constantly reminds us, nothing is too hard for him. Come on, I believe the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news. So I'm going to proclaim some good news today, okay? I want to proclaim some good news. There's nothing too difficult for him. And here's maybe the best part. You're not too difficult for him. Sometimes we feel that way, but you're not too hard for him. You're not too much for him, and you're not too far gone. In fact, I believe that he has sized you up, and he has found you exactly where you need to be right now. A lot of us feel like God is distant from us, or God is far away from us, or God has separated himself to a certain degree. We know that he'll never leave us or forsake us, but sometimes I think in our lives, when we're waiting for breakthrough, or when we're observing other people get their breakthrough and the things that we've been looking for, we've expected and we've prayed and we've fasted and it hasn't happened yet, sometimes we feel like, well, God is like there, like way out there, and I'm over here. And that's just not the case. God is not far from you. My theology kind of kicks in here and says that he never moves. Like, he's in the same place. And one of the things that we're going to see in the scriptures this morning is that when we begin to move in the direction where he is at, we find that he's been pursuing us all the while. So if breakthrough is imminent and our breakthrough happened 2,000 years ago, then I think that part of what God is doing right now is he's providing a fresh invitation for all of us to really see who he is and what he's done. Now, a lot of us in here, because I know a lot of you, we know who he is. Kevin talked about it. Jeff talked about it in the closing. We just sang about it. He's Savior. He's Deliverer. He's King. He's Restorer. He's Reconciler, right? We know it. But there are times when we know it, and then we know it in our bones. Like, it's not just like it's not just a title. It's not just a verse of scripture. It's an absolute encounter that we know it. We just know it, and nobody could convince us otherwise. Like, I know for me that there's times, and I've shared this with some of you actually in a sermon prior, that he's been just showing me how much he's Father, and what that has done in my life. Growing up without a real, you know, strong, intimate relationship with my father, like, this revelation has completely turned my life upside down, or right side up. Yeah. It's brought a security in me. It's been eliminating, because perfect love casts out fear, it's been eliminating and literally pulling out roots of fear, where fears of abandonment and fears of rejection and fears of being inadequate or fears of failure, like all those that are, listen, if you got a father wound, you have those. You just have them. Trust me, I would have never admitted to it, but I have them. And God is just delivering me out of these things as he's revealing his nature, revealing the fact that those who look to him, their faces are radiant and they need not be ashamed. But who he is and what he's done, I believe, is the catalyst. It's the catalyst for you and I seeing our breakthroughs. Coming into a place where God is bringing us into a different realm. And I believe it's an invitation. I don't believe that everyone's going to respond to it, and that grieves my heart. But I do believe it's an invitation. It's an invitation to come and get a fresh glimpse of something that you might already know. But it's with a whole new set of lenses, because it's in a realm that we call kingdom. It's in a realm that we call kingdom. That's not a place. Kingdom is not a place. Kingdom is a way of life. Kingdom is a lifestyle. Kingdom is a culture. Kingdom is just the way of Jesus. Like, it's not that challenging. When we talk about kingdom, and I mean, invariably, whoever's up here, it was brought to my attention that you last couple of weeks, Pastor Jeff, you talked about Jesus' parables. There was only one subject in Jesus' parables, just one, and it was kingdom. He was trying to reveal a kingdom to a people who were completely blind to it. They were enslaved to a religious way of relating to God, a legalistic way of relating to God. And you know what? It seems like every generation has this problem. Is that we come into a reality of a kingdom, and then when we get there, we end up creating these self-sufficient tendencies, because truly we slip into these fears instead of being rooted and grounded in his love. And so the lenses that we're looking at who he is and what he's done, so this breakthrough can actually be reality, is rooted in kingdom. And kingdom is such a revelation, guys. It's such a revelation. It's the preeminent aha moment. where all of a sudden everything in life, like I have a screensaver. Hold on, I'll actually show it to you. On my screensaver, my iPads. That was your son, by the way, did that. Shattered it.
It was a combination.
Huh?
It's a combo of kids.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, guys. So it says, my screensaver says, God has a redemptive solution for every problem we face. Why do I put it there? I'll never forget when I read that and I realized that there were areas in my heart that didn't believe that. I might be the only person in this room, but every problem we face has a redemptive solution. I was selective. I knew there were certain problems that had a redemptive solution. But every? And I knew I knew that it was a rhema word from God. I had to put it before my eyes. That's been on there for like 3 years now. And see, this is what God is trying to get at. A lot of times we see, but we don't see. And a lot of times we're hearing, but we're not hearing. Or we're perceiving. And we're really, really not grasping. Jesus talks often in his teachings or in his sermons. He actually would end them this way. And he would say, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Can y'all look at me for a moment? How's your hearing? Really? How are you hearing? I find myself sometimes, and we'll be reading our Bibles, and our Bibles will become just something that we do. And Jesus is over here going, this is awesome, but like, I want you to be with me. I want you to be with me. Not just something to do, someone to be with, someone to encounter, someone to love. I mean, we just sang about being enamored. I love that phrase, being enamored by him. Hands to the ceiling, enamored. That was not meant to be a Sunday morning experience. In fact, it's almost embarrassing saying it in a Sunday morning experience with all of you around here. And the closer that I'm getting to his heart, the closer I'm realizing that. It's almost awkward sometimes. I'm not despising the power that happens when we come together. It's one of the greatest realities in the world. But I'm saying is there's certain things that are just meant to be reserved between me and my bridegroom. And it's awkward when you're there. Right? I mean, I want to be modest, but those of you who are married kind of get that. There's certain aspects of our relationship, babe, it's just between you and I. And there's certain aspects of our relationship with God that are supposed to be between just him and I. It's why preaching for over 20 years now, I realize sometimes when I get a word, that word isn't for you, that word's for me. Where in the early days, I just wanted to preach it. I got a little youthful zealous like Joseph. And we end up in a pit. I needed some of that immaturity just knocked off. But let's turn to the book of Hosea, chapter 10. When I was asked to speak, I was asking the Lord, you know, what do you want me to share on? And immediately, like sometimes it takes like a little while, immediately, as soon as I asked him, this verse just rose in my spirit. Just rose in my spirit. And in specific, I'm going to read the whole verse to you, but in specific, there was one particular phrase that just jumped, leapt in my spirit. Hosea 10 and verse 12 says this. It says, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Till he comes and rains righteousness on you. The phrase that just jumped in my spirit was break up your fallow ground. Break up your fallow ground. Now, I've heard this championed in church services before, and it's almost championed like, get excited, this is going to be awesome. Well, not so much. If you read the whole of this chapter, you'll understand what I'm saying. This is the only somewhat cheery part of this chapter. The rest of it, well, I'll leave it for you to read. Okay? It's closed in a context of judgment. And yet, here's the thing. This message is not about judging you. This message is not a message of judgment. This message is a message of mercy. The fact that God is doing something in the world and he's including us in it is mind-boggling to me. I mean, he's got a lot of people to choose from. There's 8 billion people in the world, and he's choosing us to be a part of it. One of the most awesome realities is the fact that God wants to partner with us. Is that there is an opportunity to co-labor with God in his kingdom mission throughout the world, not just here. I mean, here is our primary Jerusalem, but the reality is he's partnering with us to do something so powerful and so significant. But here's the thing. There are some things inside of our hearts that have to go. 3 of you got that. The rest of you are just silently admitting it, right? Come on, help me out here. Break up your fallow ground. Fallow ground is ground that was once fertile and once fruitful, but now has become hard, now has become uncultivated, now has become virtually impenetrable for one reason. This is what the historians tell us. One reason. Because the ground was left unattended. That's it. The ground was neglected. Fallow ground, and it only appears a couple of times in scriptures. It's here, and then in Jeremiah chapter 4, Jeremiah speaks about it too. Again, in a judgment context, yet God's calling his people to repent. So there is definitely, and I'm not going down this road, but there's definitely a connection between fallow and repentance. But that's not where I'm heading. Break up your fallow ground. Ground that was once just flourishing like it should. And now, just barren. Now just barren. I love how Jesus interprets Old Testament passages for us, or Old Testament concepts for us. Jesus, throughout his ministry, is constantly referring to the ground or the land as a symbol of our hearts. And so this call to break up fallow ground is to tend to the soil of your heart. And I believe this is as we're waiting imminently for breakthrough and the arrival of God's presence in a particular way, we have to tend to the soil of our hearts. And I can't tend to yours, and you can't tend to mine. This is a stewardship and a responsibility that is exclusively yours, or it's exclusively mine. And yet, even in the midst of that, and this is, again, I'm a proclaimer of good news. Even in the midst of that, God doesn't expect us to do it alone. I show up at the field expecting it's just going to be me, right? Clearing out brush, pulling out stumps, getting all the weeds out. I show up with all my equipment, and guess who beat me there? He's already there. God, he's already there doing it. In fact, I get there to work and the field's pretty much all done. Because he's a helper. Come on, somebody. He's a helper. He's a strengthener. He's a paraclete. He doesn't leave us to ourselves. Can you imagine if he did? How many of us view the Christian life as just something that we have to do? I'm not doing this on my own. I would never do this. I would never choose this vocation if it was left to me. I am not that smart. I am not that charismatic. I'm not. Well, I'll just step off right now. I am not. But, this is an issue of surrender. And that theme has been echoing all throughout this morning. I hope you've been hearing it. If he gave his all for you, what should be the degree of your surrender? My question to you is it? Everything that's contributing to the soil of our hearts being fallow, you have to consider that all. Because look, we're not talking about gross sin. We certainly could be, but I don't think, as I pray, we're talking about gross sin here. We're not talking about like abominations. If you're holding on to abominations, Lord have mercy. But it's those little foxes that spoil the vine. It's those little undetected, neglected. You sense the voice of conviction, but you're like, I'll get to that later, and then you never get to it, right? It's the to-do list. It's the to-do list. You start making a to-do list, and you're like, I really don't want to do that today. I'll get to that tomorrow, and then tomorrow becomes the next day, and the next day becomes next week, and the next week becomes next month, and next month becomes next year, and next year becomes never. Unattended fallowness. There are so many areas of our hearts. There's so many areas of our hearts. I wrote down a list, and this is just generally speaking. I certainly can find some of these in my life that I've had to grapple with. But here's some of the evidences of fallow ground in our hearts. Ready? You're easily offended. You're spiritually apathetic. There's no zeal. It's like church. Great, let's go to church. Reading our Bibles. I can't wait to read my Bible. I don't even have a Bible anymore because I just open up my phone. I'm just messing with you guys. You're stuck in familiar responses. This is so one of the sin that so easily besets me. Trying to communicate with my wife better. I'm really working on it. We're 34 years into our relationship, 27 years in marriage, and I'm like, I'm trying to respond differently. And I keep falling into that same rut of familiar responses that are just rooted in pride. I hate it. I can't stand it. She's so merciful and forgiving. No, I mean, she really is. She's awesome. She's so much more awesome than I am. She's amazing. Bored in your faith. You're bored. No excitement, no passion, no expectation. For some of you, Sunday morning is exciting, but, Monday through Saturday, you could just take it or leave it. No expectation. No expectation. When you pray, do you expect God to move? Fearful, anxious, irritable, worrisome, unforgiving, critical, can't celebrate in other people's success, jealous, disappointed, complaining. The language of the enemy. What did we hear recently? If God inhabits our praises, who inhabits our complaining? Self-sufficient, striving, but not making progress. We're more mindful of the things of men than we are the things of God. Just a few examples. You could make your own list. Fallow. Little foxes spoil the vine. Little thorns. Little rocky areas. It inhibits. See, here's the thing about fallow ground. Fallow ground is stubborn when it comes to absorbing seed. It's resistant. And God wants to do so much in your life. And he wants to do so much in my life. This is why he gives us words like this. I mean, maybe not be the Sunday morning messages we want, but it's the Sunday morning messages that we need if we're going to make progress, if we're going to move, if we're going to go, if we're going to get some traction, if we're going to get some motion again, get that blood flowing again. We need these messages. We should be shouting hallelujah. We should be throwing our hands up in the air. Break up your fallowed ground. Because it's the only way. It's the only way breakthrough's coming. And it's the only way that you can sustain your relationship with God. I read an old Christian mystic like in the 14th century, and he says this. I love these old dudes, man. No, I do. I do. Find me reading some 14th century monk, man. I'll tell you what. My affections just get stirred up for Jesus. He said this. He said, only the enjoyment of God can keep you in right relationship with the Father. Only the enjoyment of God, only enjoyment of Jesus, I should say, can keep us in right relationship with the Father. Look, at the minute you bowed your knee and you confessed your sin and you placed your hope in Christ and his completed finished work, you were placed in right standing with the Father. You were declared righteous. But that was like Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, 28 years ago. Like, how do you keep in right relationship with the Father? You do what Jesus did. You do what Jesus did. Jesus loved the party. He loved the party. But then he, even more so, he loved to incubate himself. Just him and his Father. He enjoyed his Father. He enjoyed his Father. Are you enjoying your Father? Enjoying him. Like taking in all that he is, drinking in all that he says. Because, guys, we do not live by earthly things alone, but we live by everything he says to us. And while this is the primary way he communicates, 66 books, 39 into old, 27 into new, he has so much to say to us out of this reservoir of truth. He knows you inside out, backwards and forwards, and he wants to love on you because he's a God of love. The next statement after, and this actually helped me, like, I'm a practical guy. I want to know, like, okay, how do I break up fallow ground in my heart? How do I tend to the soil of my heart? The next line in the verse of Hosea, to me, just nails it. It says, break up, can we put that up there, Hosea 10? Break up your fallow ground. Zip, zip. He's got it, he'll get it. Hosea 10, I'll give it to you. It says, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. It is time to seek the, you got it? For it is time, there it is, it's time to seek the Lord. We are in an era of new seeking. We're in an era of new pursuing. Like, we're borrowing, and that's actually a very ancient practice, but we're borrowing from men like David, who said, there's one thing I desired, that will I seek. There's one thing I desire, and you or a devil in hell is not going to stop me from pursuing it. Because it's that important to me. I'm not making excuses. David said, I committed adultery, another man's wife, and had that man murdered. And yet there's one thing, I'm not even going to let my past failures determine my pursuit. That's a good word. I'd write that one down. I should write that one down too. I didn't even have that one written down, but I'll write that one down. Write that one down. Some of you are hung up because of your past failures. Some of you are hung up by your current situations. But we need to borrow from King David, who said, this one thing I desire of the Lord, and it absolutely transcends everything. And I will pursue it. Why? Because David knew he's pursuing me. Psalm 27, which has been such a gift to Tara and I, such a gift in this season of our lives. Psalm 27 and verse 8, David says, when you said, Father, when you said to my heart, seek my face, my heart responded to you, your face I will seek. There's a new seeking that God is calling us to, and it's not praying a prayer. It's not reading a Bible verse. It's not attending church on Sunday. It's not going to life group. Those are all great things, very healthy, necessary things. But we're talking about seeking. We're talking about pursuing a person. We're talking about pursuing a relationship. We're talking about pursuing a destiny that we were created for. You were created for someone more than anything else. Someone who's absolute, his opinion has not changed about you. He's absolutely zealous about you. And he's calling you to seek. He's calling you to seek. And all the prophets, you can hear this language. I even wrote down, like, there's too many to write down. Jeremiah said, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Isaiah says in Isaiah 55, he says, search for the Lord while he may be found. I think God will be found anytime, personally. I was careful on that one. I was like, no, I'm submitting to the pastor on that one. But here, I do think there's windows of opportunity. But let's borrow from the fallow ground example again. These ancient farmers, there was an urgency to plow up their ground. Because if they didn't, the spring rains were going to pass right by them. And if the seed's not in the ground, that's fertile and lush and pliable, there's no harvest. And guys, for those of us who don't grow up in agrarian societies where all we got to do is go down to market 32? Thank you. Had a brain spasm there. Right? I need a head of lettuce. I just go down to market 32. Right? I need a bag of avocados. Love me some avocados. I just go down to market 32. These people didn't have that luxury. Ain't no ShopRite, ain't no Market, ain't no Hannaford, ain't no Walmart. In Jerusalem, Judea, or Samaria, none of that. If that seed is not in a ground that's been cultivated and tended to, there is no harvest. Their livelihoods were at stake. There was an urgency about the moment. It wasn't like, I just don't feel like it today. I'm just not gonna plow today. You know? Gotta watch SportsCenter 35 times in a row. Gotta scroll on my phone. There was an urgency to get up early in the morning before it got hot, go plow that ground, put that seed in the ground, watch that spring rain come through, the former rain, harvest. Life is good. There is an urgency in this seeking. He who has an ear to hear, let them hear what the word of the Lord is saying. There is an urgency in this hour. Seek me while I will be found. I don't want this current moment, this current move of God to pass Hudson, New York. I don't want it. When the winds blow, I don't want it to just pass right by us and everything else is just the same. And more importantly, me, I am just the same. Because I have determined in my heart, whether you change or not, I'm going to change. I mean, I want you to. My shepherd's heart wants everybody in this room to change. But the bottom line is, some of you aren't. Some of you aren't. That's just the law of averages. And I would ask you to consider, don't let that be you. Don't let it be you. I don't care. The circumstances don't matter. Where you are right now, it is just between you and just between your Father and just between His Spirit who is speaking very clearly right now. Don't let it pass you by. Seek the Lord while He be found. Hosea said this in an era where people weren't listening. And I said to you in the beginning, I really believe the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news. It is time to seek the Lord. It is time to break up some fallow ground. It is time. It's time to receive breakthrough. I saw you doing this last week, like deceptive, man. I know it is. I know it is. Do I want to close with that or no? Yeah. No, I want to pray for some people. Yeah, that'd be very nice, minstrel. Breakthrough is imminent. I don't want you to raise your hand because that sometimes can be placating, but if you feel that burn in your heart, that breakthrough is imminent. And that breakthrough looks like a lot of different things for a lot of different people. Some of you have been waiting for healing for a long time. Physical healing, emotional healing, relationship healing. Some of you have been waiting for a long time. And I know you're tired. I know there's, I could sense it this morning. There are some of you that are just weary. Just weary. The journey is long. It is. It's long. And there are seasons of weariness. You're frustrated. It's not that you don't love God or you hear what I'm saying. I mean, you're going to be the first person in the morning to get out there and start breaking up that ground, but you're tired. And you're so longing for a refreshing. And I've got good news. I've got great news. He's here. He's here. That last part of the scripture in Hosea, he says, seek the Lord. He says, it is time to seek the Lord. And then the last verse says, until he rains righteousness upon you. So I'm here to declare to you this morning that there's rain that's about to fall. There's rain. And some of you are like, yeah, no joke, it's spring. Here comes the rain. No, I'm talking about the rain of his presence. I'm talking about the rain of his anointing. I'm talking about the rain of deliverance, the rain of freedom. There is a capacity of freedom that this church has never known or experienced, but is about to. Freedom. Because it's for freedom that he set us free. And if I had to say, in fact, I think I'm going to retitle this, Sean. I think it'd be a good idea. Originally, it was called Fallow to Fruitful. I think it's going to be called Fallow to Freedom. Because when that ground is broken up, it's free. It's free to do what it's supposed to do. It's free who it's supposed to be. And that's what God is looking for. He wants you to break up the fallow areas of your heart and get rid of the criticalness. Get rid of that quick to judge, that easily offended, that when a guy or a gal is up here testifying about the great things of God and you're just like unmoved. Just got to pull a rock, pull a weed, pull a stump. It's time to seek the Lord. And he's about to rain righteousness on us. So, I'm going to have you all stand in a minute. But if you are just tired, you're just tired. You're fatigued. You need some refreshment. I want you to stand to your feet. Just right where you're at. You're not going to come up front. Just stand up right where you are. You're just tired. That's a lot of you. Wow. In my spirit, I saw like 6 people. Wow, that's just about everybody. Wow. This is your moment with your God. This is your moment with your God. So you can close your eyes, you can keep them wide open. Doesn't matter to me. You can put your hands up in the air, you can keep them straight down. The most important thing is that you open up your heart and you receive. As the Spirit was moving over the waters. Spirit, come move over us. What's the next line? What's the next line? Come rest on us, Holy Spirit. Come rest on us, Holy Spirit. Come rest on us, Holy Spirit. And bring that latter rain, God. Bring that latter rain that refreshes. I pray right now a refreshing upon every soul that's standing in their feet, a refreshment, just a fresh wind, that gentle breeze that provides hope, that gentle breeze that just brings life back into our bones, that brings life back into our souls. Thank you, God, right now, Lord, for the great move. The great move, oh God, that's going to be accompanied by things that we've never experienced before. But right now, God, we just need the Holy Spirit to rest on us. Yes. As we receive you, God, in a posture of yielding, in a posture of surrender, in a response to the love, oh God, that only comes from you, a perfect love, a love, oh God, that doesn't have any dimensions to it, God, a love that literally destroys the roots of all fear. Yes. I feel strongly there's people in this place that have just given up. You've just given up. You resigned yourself to the fact that it's never going to happen. It couldn't happen. There's no way it can happen. And I'm here to say he makes a way where there is no way. He's a way maker. And if you're thinking in your head in response to that, maybe somebody else, not me, I'm telling you, he's talking about you. He's talking about your situation. He's talking about your breakthrough. He's talking about your healing. He's talking about your kid getting saved. He's talking about your parent getting saved. He's talking about that relationship that is like this, but that relationship's going to be like this. It's going to be closer than ever. You're going to experience a unity that you never thought possible because fallow ground's being broken up, and it's time to seek the Lord. And I break the lie of the enemy right now. I say, this is as good as it's going to get. No, I pronounce today, the best is yet to come in this house and in these lives in the name of Jesus. Now I want everybody to stand. I want everybody to stand. Because every person in this house, your breakthrough happened 2,000 years ago. And it's way past time that we stop playing church. Way past time. Playing church might be for the church down the road. It's not for this church. It's not for this church. It's not for this house. We are a kingdom house. We're not bound by the traditions of men. And we're done giving in to religious, legalistic garbage. And so, God, I thank you, God, in this house. Hearts being renewed. Fires being rekindled.